from the file of make sure you know the home your child is staying over at in a sleepover comes this story. Texts reveal the panic of a 12-year-old girl allegedly drugged at a sleepover. The father now facing felony charges. The incident unfolded in Lake Oswego last August, where three 12-year-old girls were hospitalized after allegedly being exposed to an unknown prescription drug during a sleepover at a friend's house. Now harrowing text messages from one of the girls shed light on the terrifying ordeal. Well, the host of the sleepover, Michael Maiden, faces multiple felony charges. According to authorities, Maiden, 57, of Lake Oswego, is accused of drugging the girls by lacing mango smoothies with benzodiazepine and encouraging them to drink the drink. Maiden turned himself into the Clackamas County Jail on February 28th after a Clackamas County grand jury indicted him on 9 felony and misdemeanor charges, including causing ingestion of a controlled substance and delivery of a controlled substance to a minor. Text messages exchanged by one of the frightened girls and her mother paint a chilling picture of the events that transpired that night. In the frantic plea for help, the girl texted her mom at 1:43 a.m. saying, "Mom, please pick me up and say I had a family emergency. I don't feel safe. Please pick up. Please, please."
Despite
her desperate messages, the girl's mother did not respond, prompting the girl to reach out to her friend's parents for assistance. Eventually, one friend's mother came to pick her up from Maiden's house, where she allegedly experienced disturbing encounters with Maiden while pretending to be asleep. "So I'm sleeping," quote, "and her dad comes down and I'm hugging the friend because she was scared. And he kept moving us away from each other, but kept doing tests to make sure we weren't awake." The frightened girl recounted in a text to her friend. The concerned parents of the girls ultimately intervened, refusing to leave Maiden's home until they retrieved their daughters. Subsequent hospital tests confirmed that all three girls had ingested benzodiazepine. Maiden,
you know what benzodiazepines are?
No, what exactly does it do?
They are depressants.
Yeah.
So they'll basically put you to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what he might have had. Midazolam is something that's often used to introduce sleep, basically, to put somebody into a state so you can put them under anesthesia, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's a big party drug. Benzos,
yeah,
is what they're called. So first of all, I want to know where he got them.
Yeah.
And what was he going to do when these girls were asleep?
Well, exactly. This is not, hey, have some NyQuil because you're all, you know, making noise and please go to sleep. This is drugging someone.
Yeah, exactly. This is anything from like Xanax to Ativan to Valium. That's what he was doing.
Maiden, who pled not guilty to the charges, released on $50,000 bond following his indictment. Notably, less than 2 months after the incident, Maiden finalized his divorce from his wife of 16 years and relocated to Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Like, oh, you drugged the girls at the sleepover. Okay. That could probably get that divorce moved along a little bit faster. This is like horrific to think of that. Yeah.
I had a wonderful fifth grade teacher. And I hate to even include him in this story. He was nothing like what we just talked about. Mr. Swigum was his name, and just fabulous. At the end of fifth grade, our entire class went to his house for a sleepover in his basement. We played games. We ate pizza. I mean, I'm not going to say my age now, but I still remember it from fifth grade. It was fabulous. That could never happen in today's world where boys and girls in fifth grade, an entire class were over at a man's house.
No.
Could never happen. But, you know, we would never think something like this could ever have occurred, and nothing bad happened. We had the best time. We played so many games and it was just fun. We made projects and things that we could take home, and it was just wonderful. And we don't live in that world anymore. We have to worry about who we send our kids over to, you know, what houses they go to. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe we should have then too, though. I don't know.
Well, maybe we should have then too. Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, how many stories do we hear there of all the stories that you hear of. And I went to this man's house for a sleepover. There's very few I hear of that end the way you just described, where it's like, yes, we did projects, we had fun. Like, do I believe there are truly genuine, good-hearted people out there that wouldn't do anything to a child, and they meant, you know, they were just having a party at the end of the year, you know, and back at that point in time, we were in a different world. Today, I mean, just the liability factor alone, even if you are someone who's not going to do those sort of things, you wouldn't put yourself in that situation, number one. Right. But number two, I can't fathom, as a parent, being cool with that or for any reason, because it seems so red flaggy of like, you don't have any kids? Like, you're having all these kids over at your house? Like, huh? Like, I don't...
See, that's the thing. Back then, we never thought that way. He was just such a popular teacher, and every student just adored him. You could go to him and ask him any question. Yeah. He was a great teacher, and he taught us a lot. He got along with the parents. He got along with everybody. I'd never heard a bad word about him from anyone. Well, I mean, I read this story, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, I remember stories my mom would tell me of being in high school, and they would go out to the club because drinking age was 18 at the time. Mm-hmm. And they would go to the club, and the teachers would be there, and they would be dancing with the teachers and hanging out. There's several kids that I grew up with that their dad was a high school teacher to their mom in high school in the 70s. And they ended up getting married, and they were, the one I remember the most, it was like a very conservative, quiet family. I remember having this guy as a teacher. I remember this girl as my classmate, and really fairly peaceful family, like no issues at all that I ever saw. I mean, it was not like a, oh my God, red flag, this is like a creepy predator type guy. One of the most kind of just reserved, but polite, but not, I don't know. It was not predatory as far as what we would think of today. But yeah, it was one of those, you know, ended up marrying one of his high school students after they graduated. And it was very common. It was very common in the 70s for that to take place. Today, we'd be talking about you on the show.
Yeah. You know, it's not appropriate. And it's, you know, after maybe once you graduate and you're older ish, but right away after high school, that age discrepancy is just too great.
You're out there at a nightclub with girls that you're teaching.
Yeah.
That's not appropriate. I mean, mm-mm. it's just not. It's creepy. It's a funny thing. I mean, obviously, as you get older, it gets, you know, age is not such a big deal. But it's one thing if you're like, that was your teacher versus not. But I remember as I got older, I remember when I was in my like mid-20s dating someone who was a little bit older than me. And I determined, I'm like, you're the same age as my homeroom teacher.
Oh, God.
And it was just kind of. For a moment, it was weird, but it's like, yeah, everybody's an adult. It's not a big deal. Because she's only like 5-6 years older. And I remember my homeroom teacher was like, you know, fresh out of college. So really only 4 or 5 years older than the students.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's weird. And this is so disturbing that one would try and drug the girls at your house for the love of God. I mean, what was he going to do? I guess that's what's up in the air. And that's the scary part of our system is he's not going to be charged with that, with what we would assume he may be intending to do. He's going to be charged with what they're saying. It's, you know, giving a, what is it? Misdemeanor, felony, 9 felony and misdemeanor charges, including causing ingestion of a controlled substance and delivery of a controlled substance as a minor. It's not sexual offenses. But you know, what his intent probably was, and it probably wasn't just to get a good night's sleep and make them shut up.
No, and I'm reading it. According to the affidavit, it says he also moved one girl's arm and moved her body onto the bed.
Okay.
The girl who was awake, who didn't drink the smoothie, said she remained awake in fear that he was going to do something to her friend. So she's the witness here.
Yeah.
That, I mean, first of all, why are you moving a girl onto a bed that you've already drugged?
Why are you touching any of your...
Right.
Having any physical contact at all with any of these children, period.
Yep. Yeah. This is really disturbing. He needs to be charged with attempted assault.
Well, yes, I completely agree. The problem is he's not going to be. And it's going to be one of those, well, a few years later, oh, guess what? Remember he had these previous charges? Well, yeah, now he actually succeeded at them because we didn't, you know, really fully charge him with everything that we should have. But that's how our system works.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.